Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special. My heart had been heavy with guilt ever since that fateful night when, out of fear, I denied my Lord three times. Even after witnessing the empty tomb and even after seeing the risen Jesus myself, I was still consumed by sorrow and shame. It felt as if I had betrayed the one who had chosen me, taught me, and loved me as a dear friend. One morning, a couple of weeks after the resurrection, we were by the Sea of Galilee, and I decided to go fishing with James and John. As the sun began to rise, we noticed a figure standing on the shore. At first, we did not recognize him. We still didn't recognize him, even after he called out to us, asking if we had any fish. When we replied no, he told us to cast the net on the right side of the boat. This is what Jesus had told us to do years ago, when he had been in my boat preaching one day, after we had tried fishing all night and caught nothing. And just as we had done then, we followed his instructions, and as before, caught a large number of fish. I suspected it was Jesus when I dropped the net, and I had no doubt when it began to fill quickly. Overwhelmed with emotion and eager to see my Lord, I hastily plunged into the water and swam to the shore. I left James and John behind to have them pull the catch into the boat. As I approached Jesus, a mix of joy and shame flooded me. He greeted me with a warm smile, and I could see in his eyes that he knew of the burden I carried. After we had eaten breakfast, which was a delicious meal of grilled fish with bread and figs, Jesus turned to me and said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" My heart ached at his words, but I responded, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He then instructed me to feed my lambs. Jesus asked me the same question two more times, and each time I answered, affirming my love for him. With each response, Jesus commissioned me to tend to his sheep, urging me to take care of his followers. As a realization dawned upon me, I understood that Jesus was giving me the chance to reaffirm my devotion and commitment to him. My heart swelled with gratitude, and my shame began to dissipate. With each question, I was reminded of my denial of Jesus, but also of his unyielding love and forgiveness. In his infinite mercy, Jesus was restoring me to my calling as his disciple, entrusting me with the responsibility to shepherd his people. From that moment on, I knew my life had been transformed. No longer would I be weighed down by my past failures, for I had been forgiven and renewed by my risen Lord. Empowered by his grace, I would dedicate myself to spreading the good news of his love and redemption. Jesus had restored me, and with a heart full of gratitude and love, I would fulfill the mission he had entrusted to me. As the days passed after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to us, his disciples, on several occasions, teaching us and preparing us for the mission that lay ahead. We had grown closer to him in those days, our hearts burning with renewed passion and understanding. One day, Jesus led us to a hill just outside Jerusalem. He gathered us around him, his eyes shining with purpose and love. We listened intently as he began to speak, knowing that he had something significant to share with us. "Go, therefore," he said, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." As he spoke, I felt an immense sense of responsibility and honor. Jesus, our Savior and Lord, was entrusting us with the task of sharing his teachings and the good news of his salvation with the world. He continued, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." His words filled my heart with comfort and courage, knowing that he would be with us in spirit as we carried out his command. As Jesus finished speaking, we watched in awe as he began to ascend into the sky, his arms outstretched and his gaze focused heavenward. A cloud enveloped him, and soon he was out of sight. We stood there, staring upward, our hearts brimming with mixed emotions, amazement, joy, sadness, and anticipation. Suddenly, two men in white robes appeared beside us and addressed us. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." These men were obviously angels, and Jesus had sent them to us to reassure us. Their words filled us with hope and determination, knowing that Jesus would one day return in all his glory. We left that hillside with a renewed sense of purpose, ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. In the days following Jesus' ascension, we, his disciples, gathered together in Jerusalem, just as he had instructed us. We spent our time in prayer and fellowship, waiting with anticipation for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts were filled with a sense of purpose, but we also felt the weight of the mission that lay before us. On the day of Pentecost, we were all together in one place, when suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the house. It was as if the very breath of God had entered the room. We looked at each other with wide eyes, sensing that something extraordinary was about to happen. Then what appeared to be tongues of fire descended upon each of us, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit. In that moment, we were overcome with an indescribable power and boldness. We began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled us to do so. A large crowd had gathered outside, drawn by the sound of the rushing wind. People from many nations were present in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and they were astonished to hear us, Galileans, speaking in their native tongues. They marveled at this miracle, asking one another, "What does this mean?" Seized by the Holy Spirit, I stood up and addressed the crowd, proclaiming the good news of Jesus with great conviction. I spoke of his life, his teachings, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, explaining that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies that promised Messiah. My words, guided by the Spirit, cut to the hearts of those who listened. They asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" I replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That day, about 3,000 people embraced the message and were baptized, joining our growing community of believers. The Holy Spirit had transformed us, giving us the courage, wisdom, and power to fulfill the mission that Jesus had entrusted to us. Pentecost marked the beginning of the church, as we, the apostles, were empowered to spread the gospel throughout the world. It was a day of profound change and growth, as the Holy Spirit filled us and guided our steps, forever shaping the course of our lives and the lives of countless believers to come. In the weeks, months, and years that followed, we continued to spread the gospel to all nations. And through trials and tribulations, our faith in the risen Savior only grew stronger. We knew that even though Jesus had ascended to heaven, his presence remained with us, empowering and guiding us in our divine mission. And I know Jesus is with me even now as I anticipate my execution in the morning. The Emperor Nero has sentenced me and some others to be crucified. I've asked to be crucified upside down because I do not count myself worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did.